Thank you and welcome to Bible Talk. We have mentioned on previous programs that salvation from sin is by the grace of God, but it is not solely by God's grace, without any response on man's part. We have shown from Scripture that while man cannot save himself by his own meritorious works, but is in need of God's grace, there are still conditions that man must meet in order to be saved by grace. We show that man meeting conditions laid down by God does not nullify grace. Now, someone might be saying, well, that is correct. There is something man must do to be saved. The only thing he needs to do is believe in Jesus. Much of Protestant denominationalism teaches salvation by faith alone. They teach that one is saved at the point of faith and without further acts of obedience. The moment one believes in Jesus, he is saved, they say. Well, is this true? Are we saved at the point of faith without further acts of obedience? Well, the answer is no. The Bible does not teach salvation by faith only. Now, it teaches salvation by faith, but not salvation by faith only. The Bible does not teach that one is saved the moment he believes in Jesus without further acts of obedience. You know, if I can show that somebody in the New Testament believed in Jesus and was not saved, would not that show that believing in Jesus is not all that stands between the sinner and salvation? Would not it then show that there are further acts of obedience in order to be saved than just believing in Jesus? Well, indeed. Look with me, first of all, in John 12, verses 42 and 43. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Now, I don't know of anyone who would contend that these rulers were saved. They refused to confess Jesus. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Yet it says they believed in him. That is, they believed in Jesus. You know, this is the same expression that is used in John 3 and verse 16 where it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so these rulers believed in Jesus, but they were not saved. Here is an example of certain ones believing in Jesus, but they are not saved. Well, someone says, yes, but these rulers did not have saving faith. And that's right. This is the point that we want to make in the lesson today. We want to show the difference between that faith that saves and that faith that does not save. The rulers in John chapter 12 believed in Jesus, but they did not have a faith that saves because it was a faith that did not prompt further acts of obedience. Look with me also in Acts chapter 2. We read here of Peter preaching to the Jews. These Jews did not believe in Jesus Christ. And Peter proves to them that this Jesus whom they had crucified a few days earlier was the one whom God had made both Lord and Christ. Read verse 36. Verse 37 then says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" These Jews now were convinced that the man they had caused to be crucified was truly Lord and Christ. The fact that they were pricked in their heart indicates that they understood that what Peter was saying about this Jesus is the truth. They believe now. But were they saved at this point? No, not unless they were saved without having the remission of sins. Their question, "What shall we do?" brought this answer. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now here were people who believed, but were not saved as yet. They were not saved until their faith became an obedient faith. When these Jews who believed, repented, and were baptized, then they found the remission of sins. They were then saved. And so this passage shows that belief in Jesus does not save until one demonstrates that belief in repentance and baptism. Another example of one who believed but was not saved is Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. He was on his way to Damascus for the purpose of binding Christians and bringing them to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, at about noontime, a great light from heaven shone around him. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to Saul, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." That's Acts 22, verses 6 through 8. Well, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Now, what was Saul told to do? Well, the Lord sent Ananias to him in the city. When Ananias came to Saul, he told him, among other things, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, verse 16. But did not Saul believe in Jesus before he was told this? He had seen the Lord. Read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, where Paul later says that he saw the Lord. He had heard Him speak. He heard Him say, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And so surely Saul was now convinced of the truth about this Jesus. He no doubt believed. And then Ananias tells him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Yes, Saul believed, but he was not saved from his sins until his faith became an obedient faith. He was not saved the moment he believed, but he was saved when he demonstrated his faith by doing what the Lord said do, by arising and being baptized. Now, I stated earlier that the purpose of this lesson is to show the difference between faith that saves and faith that does not save. The Bible teaches that salvation is by faith. Over and over in the Scriptures, the Lord has promised salvation or eternal life to the believer. But what kind of believer will be saved? What kind of faith saves? Well, we have shown already that some who believed in Christ were not saved because they did not demonstrate their faith in obedience to further commands. Remember the rulers in John 12. Others who believed were not saved until their faith became an obedient faith, such as the Jews on the day of Pentecost and Saul of Tarsus. You see, the Bible teaches that saving faith is a faith that must be demonstrated. If it is a saving faith, it is a faith that will show itself in obedience. James says in James chapter 2 and verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith without works save a man?" Well, the answer is no. Faith without works cannot save him. In verse 24, he says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." The only time in Scripture where the phrase "faith only" is found is here in this passage. And James says that justification, which means being free from the guilt of sin, is not by faith only. Yes, we are justified by faith, but it is a faith that demonstrates itself in obedience. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is filled with examples of saving faith. You know, in the last verse of chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." Notice he mentions here faith unto the saving of the soul. But what does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? Well, the Hebrew writer answers that question for us in the very next chapter, chapter 11. He shows us what it means to have faith by showing us what faith did in the lives of others, such as Abel and Noah and Abraham and Moses, etc. Notice verse 7. He says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now notice, by faith Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now Noah did not simply believe and cause the ark to appear. He believed and prepared an ark. He built it. The building was a demonstration of his faith. And the building, was counted as an element of the faith, you see. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, the Hebrew writer says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." Now this is a reference to the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. God tells Joshua, "I have given Jericho into your hand." But God commands Joshua that certain ones are to march around the walls of the city before the walls would fall, and the city would then be given to them. The priests are to blow the trumpets. At a certain time, the people are to shout, and then the walls would fall. But the Hebrew writer said, though, that the walls fell by faith. He said, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down." You see, we understand that the marching, the blowing of the trumpets, and the shouting of the people were essential for the walls to fall and for Israel to take the city. But at the same time, the falling of the walls was by faith. The fact of the matter is that the marching was faith. It was faith in action, faith expressed, faith embodied. What is seen in that marching certainly is not the embodiment of human reasoning. From the standpoint of human reasoning, the marching was utter stupidity. Human reasoning would never have suggested such a plan for taking a city. It is faith in action that is seen in this marching. It is equally correct to say that baptism is faith. Baptism is an act of faith. It is faith in action, faith embodied. That is why the Bible can tell us at the same time that baptism is essential to salvation and that the sinner is saved by faith. You see, baptism is an element of faith. In Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, Paul said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Notice, Paul says that they are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But the next verse says they were baptized into Christ. Therefore, their baptism into Christ was a part of the faith by which they became sons of God. Baptism is an act of faith, a constituent part of the faith that saves. It is only in this way that the Bible teaching of salvation by faith can be understood. You see, if repentance and baptism are acts of faith by which we are saved, just like marching, blowing the trumpets, and shouting were a part of the faith by which the walls of Jericho fell, then we can understand what the Bible means when it says that we are saved by faith, and yet makes repentance and baptism conditions of salvation. But if we are saved by faith only and without further obedience, then no man on earth can explain passages like Acts 2 and verse 38 and Acts 22 and verse 16 without perverting and twisting the Word of God. Salvation is by faith, but it is not by faith only, but it is a faith that is demonstrated in obedience to God's commands. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you have a Bible question that you would like for us to address on a future program, then we would like to hear from you. Also, if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then we would also like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may send in your questions or make your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559. Again, thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.